Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of, and we dream such frightening things. Sci-fi and Scream. Be afraid. Be very afraid. On Joy 94.9.
Come in, come in, come in, come in. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Welcome to the show. This is number 103 to some people. And that was Yunyu, or Dorothy. Well, the single's called Dorothy, from a video single project called Twisted Tales. It has a sort of outer space feeling to it. Now, Mitch is here. What did you think of that, Mitch?
I really liked it. I think it's a good start to our kind of like sci-fi space theme tonight.
Yes.
With aliens and spaceships and... come in to the planet.
Like, yes, codependent, in fact, codependent aliens, because we're going to be doing a quick review and playing an interview to do with codependent lesbian space alien seek same. Now, that's actually the name of the film. It's not just something that you see in the back of MCV or
MX,
Star or
who's
MX.
Looking at you.
Exactly. You are right now. But so welcome to the show, Mitch.
Thank you.
Good to have you back in here again. Now, tell us what you've been doing since last Tuesday evening when you were in here. First time.
Since last Tuesday. Uni.
Uni and, of course...
Watching this movie. Space codependent lesbian.
Yes, lesbian, alien, sex, same. And why are we talking about this film? Well, it is a feature film on at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, which starts on the 15th of this month, goes to the 25th of March of 2012, and this is the American film that has been chosen specifically by Joy people here, and it is, well, actually chosen by the Melbourne Queer Film Festival on behalf of Joy, because it's what we call Joy Presents. So it's presented by this radio station to you, the viewer, and for those who love Melbourne Queer Film Festival, and you've got a chance to see it on Saturday the 17th of March at 6:15 or Friday the 23rd of March at 8:15, both at the ACMI here in Melbourne City. So yes, I've got an interview to play very shortly with the director, producer and writer, the wonderful Madeline Olnick. And she's a New York person. And
New Yorker.
A New Yorker. Now, you were in New York not so long ago.
Yes, I was. And so that's why I'm really interested to see how... Oh, not just because I was there, but I'm really interested to hear how the interview goes, because it sounds really exciting after watching the movie. And I'd like to hear her opinion on the script, the writing.
So we're going to be doing that. And also, it's in two parts, this particular interview. And then we'll talk... Mitch and I will chat about what we thought of the film. A few more details about that. There's also another film I'll talk briefly about, and that is an Israeli lesbian movie called Joe and Belle. It's also on at the festival. And then we've got a smaller interview to play later on in the evening with someone called Peter Krauss from 3CR. He has a movie review show, and he's talking about genre films and how the Australian genre film industry is going, with Snowtown and Caught Inside being some of the big ones in the last year. It's all here on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Whoa.
Now, Mitch also has another show that he appears on and helps produce. Tell us about that one.
I also work on the Asian Pop Experiment Thursday nights, 7 p.m., 8 p.m., mm-hmm. and that's basically covering Asian pop, Asian music, and so K-pop, C-pop, and
T-pop.
J-pop.
T-pop.
What's C-pop?
Thai-pop. Is that the thing?
I guess. I've never heard
T-pop.
That.
No, not T-pop. Teapot. Yes, all right. So sit back, enjoy, and keep on listening to us here on Joy and 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is presenting your film, Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Seek Same, as the film that they present to film festival goers at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival in March this month.
Great.
So you're the chosen one.
Great. I'm enthusiastically responding, even though you're hearing it 5 minutes after I say it.
Oh, gosh. So it's a great honour to actually speak to you, because this surprised me. Oh. It surprised me that there was such a film, and especially especially with such a wonderful title as Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Sex Same. I mean, brilliant. So welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam. That's the name of the show here. Madeline Olnick.
Uh-huh.
And you're the director
film. Thank you. I'm writer and director.
Writer and director. This is your first full feature, is that right? Feature length film.
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I guess most people want to know, what's with the title?
Oh, well, I love titles in general. I always, from when I was doing theater before, I did queer theater, and often the stuff presented wouldn't get reviewed, so you wouldn't really get extra publicity that way. But the newspaper did have to list all the plays that were playing. So I found that if I had funny and creative titles, so that maybe indicated that there was queer content, our audience could find it. I want to see what happens if I talk faster. I'm just going to talk over my own echo. I'm talking over myself
okay.
right now.
Appreciate that.
You only hear the one voice.
Yes, I do. I'm only hearing one. I'm not hearing the echo. You're the unfortunate guinea pig. You're hearing yourself again. So that's good for me.
Yeah. And also, for me, a title is framing device. Like, it gives the audience a piece of information that sometimes can excite them to see what they're about to see, and what they want, they think about interactively with the title, especially as the movie's starting. And so that's what's with the title. So also, I do think it serves as a clearinghouse for homophobes. Like, it's very hard for someone to stand up in the middle of this movie and walk out indignant, like they didn't know what it was about.
It's up front. Yes.
And also, you know, people who are going to have a sense of humor, like for straight people who come to see this movie, those are going to be people with a sense of humor.
Oh, definitely. We deal with sci-fi genre shows and here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, but very rarely do you get a romance comedy that has got science fiction elements. Very rare to get a queer one as well. The big question is, you're obviously a sci-fi fan. What are some of the films that have influenced you to make Codependent?
Well, I did consult a lot with the wonderful people at this little store called The World of Video, which is in the West Village, one of the few remaining video stores standing.
Wow.
That Netflix has sort of served to close down a lot of them, because here in the state, people can order their DVDs through the mail without a return date. Better for people to just do that all through the internet. But then what you lose are interacting with, you know, the aficionados who work in the video stores. I mean, I think you also have that in Australia, because I know the internet in terms of film watching has taken off not there yet.
Not yet, no.
No, it's great. And they knew all about sci-fi and pointed me towards many movies, including Earth versus Science, Flying Saucers. And so I read a little bit also about Ray Harryhausen.
Oh, yeah, right.
Flying Saucer guy, and how he made all those models by hand and would turn them, like, you know what I mean? And how they created those very real effects and how much air went into them.
Yeah, he's still alive.
He is.
He's about 90.
Wow.
I don't think he's making anything.
I don't know if he's won an Oscar, but he should.
He should, yeah. I love his... He worked on the original Clash of the Titans as well, and Sinbad, The Adventures of Sinbad, and lots of those 60s films. Tim Burton's a massive fan, and Peter Jackson, and they held a party for him.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Here we are, Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Now, that was just part one of my interview with Madeline Olnick, the director of Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Seek Same. Of course, what a great, wonderful title. Now, we've just had an email pretty recently. Person wants to know, was it an old or new Kate Bush? No, it wasn't old or new Kate Bush at all. It was the song I played at the beginning, and it was by Yun Yi. Originally from Singapore, she arrived in Australia a few years back, and she's done very well in the Canadian college charts, apparently. She's putting her music out there. She's been released through MGM Records in North America and appears to be doing really well, and that was called Dorothy, so that was the piece I played. But yeah, it was very much like Kate Bush. Mitch and I were nodding here, and then Mitch got excited because he has got some Kate Bush we're going to play a little bit later.
Who doesn't love Kate Bush? I'm such a big fan.
You asked me that. I'm love thinking Tori Amos Kate doesn't.
And we both laugh like this.
We did, because we thought we were clever. Now, if you think you're clever too, and tell us what you think of of Kate Bush, what you think of Yunyi, what you think of codependent lesbians and outer space, then you can SMS us on. We're going to have a bit more of that interview. What happened is I think I cut off a little bit of the interview there, Mitch reminded me. And actually, the thing was, Ray Harryhausen had a 90th birthday bash, and it was held a couple of years back with the likes of Tim Burton and Peter Jackson, both massive fans. So if you know anything about stop animation, Ray Harryhausen was the man who did it all, from Skeletons, Rising Up from the Dead, and Sinbad Adventures, the original pre-CGI Clash of the Titans in 1980. He was the dude that did it. Have you heard of him before, Mitch?
Maybe.
Sometimes. You need to go online and check that out. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
What I love about your film is that magic of an old B-grade sci-fi movie style, but also it's got that, you know, the sharp black and white. And I guess listeners need to realise that this is, you know, most of it is in black and white. That's rare. I don't think there's any films on the Melbourne Queer Film Festival that's held here. There aren't any other films that are black and white.
It was a definite choice. I wanted to refer to the 50s sci-fi, and also I wanted to refer to early indie film, especially very sort of earnest women love stories. And there was also another element in how a New York story feels realer in black and white. And I know there's, you know, people think of Woody Allen and
yes,
all of his
Manhattan.
Black and white films, but there's something about black and white which really captures the beauty of dirty, dirty New York.
I thought Mayor Giuliani years ago cleaned it up.
It's gotten a little messy again.
It's got gritty again.
And I also try to show parts of the city that you really don't get to see that much, because we shot on the street with like a crew of like two or three people so that we could run around and get a lot of footage of the city, because I wanted it to give weight to this, to the romance, to feel like it's set in this reality.
It's got that Woody Allen-esque feel about it, and it reminds me too of some of the earlier lesbian films like Go Fish.
Yes, definitely.
Those sort of one-on-one conversations between, you know, just two people. What I loved was your X-Files sort of characters, the surveillance agents, the government agents there, and their conversations, which always happen inside that vehicle, inside their car, as they're keeping an eye on, you know, the aliens that are out there and in the city. Those are great little vignettes.
Thanks. I wanted to capture something. I think that's particular about the gay experience. I can say, at least in this country, it's just there's endless referendums and voting, and should there be marriage? Should there be adoption? Should this state by state, if someone passes an anti-discrimination law, someone passes an anti-discrimination law.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like you're going along living your life, and then all of a sudden you feel this weird scrutiny. And so I thought that the device of the agents, which is when you're making a genre film, you should include the stock expressions of the genre.
Yes.
So I did want there to be men in black, but I wanted them to be tailing these women on their date, because there's something both creepy and funny about that. And so that's one reason I have that along with this. But, you know, the things that are sort of working against the romance, like will they be found out and other things that I don't want to give away too much.
No. Spoiler alert and all that.
Yes.
Yeah, because what's fascinating is the conversation between those two male characters and about marriage, the Debbie mm-hmm. dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's classic. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't wait to see people's reactions to it in the cinema here in Melbourne, because, yeah, there's a lot of the same-sex and equal marriage rights occurring here, but like you said, nothing like the frequency that you have constantly drumming in the background, no doubt, in your country. I certainly wouldn't know where to begin to study your politics that you have there. However, I certainly am amazed at the resilience of the American spirit and of LGBTIQ communities in your nation that are so vigilant. I mean, seriously, it just hasn't stopped, has it, since the 70s, really?
No.
It's continuing.
Well, it's interesting because we had a screening the night that gay marriage passed in New York.
Wow.
And it actually passed during the screening. So when I walked up to the microphone for the Q&A, I actually walked into the microphone. Wow. Like, it hit me in the face. And then I announced that gay marriage passed. And everyone cheered for about 15 minutes as if I was the one who had passed marriage. Gay marriage.
It must have been your movie. It did it. It did it. You see the aliens.
Exactly.
No, that's brilliant. I bet there wasn't many dry eyes in the theater that night.
Yeah, it was a great
night. Happiness, obviously.
And we had 1,000 people there.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's brilliant.
But one of the things that's always interesting to me in gay film is how the homophobe are often presented very dramatically. When you present someone dramatically, that gives them a lot of power. And even if the movie resolves itself by the person moving out of town or whatever, with this hopeful idea of they're going on to their gay life, it's always been perturbing to me because I feel like that glorifies homophobia in a way. I feel like gay dramas, which inevitably involve some kind of homophobia, glorify it.
And usually it's harrowing and violent, yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather examine the psychology of the homophobe and make fun of it. So one of the characters, obviously, and is very fixated on these gay aliens. I mean, as we've learned from politics, and at least in our country, is that usually the people spearheading these anti-gay things are either cheating on their wives or they're secretly gay themselves. They're people who have a lot of unresolved issues that they project onto gay people, and that's why they're so fixated with gay people instead of thinking of their own issues. I thought it would be funny to have a homophobe who, you know, is someone who you laugh at. And I don't know, I feel like that gives more joy to people. It gives more even like coping mechanisms than glorifying the homophobe.
Humor is a great defense mechanism on any level, I think. And for our community, some of the most hilarious comedians are gay or lesbian or bisexual. And even in the mainstream, they always seem to be the funniest people. Crossover that you've got there. And I kept thinking about Jane Curtin, actually, the Conehead, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of that kind of humor. And I love that sort of American humor. I used to love Conehead.
Yeah, I am asked about Conehead with this movie. And the thing is that they refer to that same character who was very common in the 1950s B-movies. In America, there was this great fear of nuclear war with the Russians and the Russians invading, and that they would make us all alike. But this bald alien character, which you see appearing from film to film, no matter who wrote it, who directed whatever, was sort of based in collective unconscious fears of the atomic bomb and us all being rendered hairless. Like in the monotone voice was this idea that we would all be made the same.
Yeah, robotic.
And so these B-movies, of all the B-movies made in America, there was sort of like a circuit for these B-movies. Like there were movies there were theaters that showed them, and there were directors who were B-movie directors. They worked within a certain system. The sci-fi B-movies were the most financially successful of all the B-movie genres. Advantage of being in New York and being able to tell this story. When we were shooting on the streets with the aliens and people walking by, really not looking at us twice, in terms of how people, you know, we will accept anyone here in terms of alternative appearances on the streets here in New York. So I believe it was totally plausible that these aliens could land in the East Village and not cause a stir.
Going back to your movie, of course, is it crosses over, I think, personally, very easily into, I mean, it shouldn't have to, but into mainstream. I can see how anyone could sit down who likes sci-fi or doesn't even like sci-fi and actually find themselves enjoying it like I did.
Yeah, we really have found that there's been great excitement among audiences, and I have traveled with the movie a lot to foreign countries, and you know, often they say humor doesn't translate to another culture, but I've found that most cultures have a B-movie history, which is very interesting. In Mexico in particular,
they
thought that I had seen their sci-fi from the 60s. They were like, oh, I'm glad you enjoy Mexican sci-fi.
Big feeling. I love that phrase that you use. It turns up in the film, the love expression used by the lesbian aliens in the film. And it's big feeling that's destroying the ozone. I mean, that's a very brilliant way of getting across the whole point and, I guess, the symbolism of what you're saying.
Yes, that was the... the first thing I wrote about before I wrote any other part of this was just that idea that these aliens lived on a planet where it was believed that if you love too much, the feelings would get so big that they bleed your body and rise up into the sky and widen the hole in the ozone. So then I had round up all the over-emotional aliens who all happened to be lesbians and send them to Earth to have their hearts broken so that they can't love anymore. But I do want to say, touching on what you're bringing up, is, I mean, remember, like, we all came out because we wanted to feel more joy in our lives.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why we shouldn't have joyous films and have, there's something very political about having a great night out.
yeah.
And I just want to remind people, you know, especially for me, a lot of LGBT fests are very much into the dramas. And just because an idea is presented with weight doesn't mean that it has weight. To reclaim our human right to enjoy each other and to laugh. And to celebrate our relationships and enjoy our romances and have fun. Well, I mean, but it can be very serious to laugh, subverting the system that says we're supposed to be miserable.
And I think the great thing about codependent lesbian space, alien seek same, is the fact that you've got so many issues there. It's not just the marriage aspect. It's the fact that they are like refugees. They could be taken away. They could be sent back to wherever they came from, you know.
My name is Madeline Olmec. My film is Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Seek Same. You're listening to... I'm sorry, tell me again.
Sci-Fi and Squeam. On Joy 94.9.
On Joy 94.9.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
It's hard with the echoing.
Oh, I bet. It's... We're on the other side of the world. Who can figure it out with all this technology, you know?
But we should let people know that there is a website.
Oh, yes, please. I mean, what was the website address?
It's the title of the film, Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Seek Same.com.
Of course it is. I'll put that on the Facebook and everything. Thank you so much, and all the best for the film, and really looking forward to seeing how it goes here down under, but I know it will be a success.
Okay, great.
Thanks. Okay, thanks for putting up with the echo. Sorry, I was trying to be funny.
And
really.
Thank you for thanks. It was funny.
Okay.
Thanks for featuring and presenting it. Thanks to everyone there for presenting it.
Love doing it.
And for hosting it. I mean, for being our host.
All of that. I love the film.
Okay, you too. Take care. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Hi there, this is Anna Silk, and I play Bo on Lost Girl, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, my name is Colin Ferguson. I play Sheriff Jack Carter on Eureka, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Now there is the Bush, the Kate Bush herself with... What was that track? It was beautiful.
That was Strange Phenomena, and I thought that would really fit in with tonight's theme.
Especially with that film, The Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Seek Same. What were we saying about that? This is Sci-Fi and Squeam, of course, and we were saying off air, Mitch, that the title is hard to actually say and remember correctly, but it means we remember the film. It's kind of a weird sort of roundabout way of saying...
Yeah, you'll never remember the name, but it's so long that you remember it's a long name.
You know, the film has got a long title. And that, of course, was another segment of my interview with the director, producer and writer, Madeline Olmec. She's a wonderful New York woman, and certainly Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Seek Same has put her on the map, definitely. Now, her history, her background was originally lots of shorter films, and she was trying there to basically bring attention to something that I guess maybe lesbians don't really acknowledge that much, and I suppose it would be the codependency. And you were saying, Mitch, that you could, off air, you were saying how you could actually relate to Jane. I believe it's Jane.
Jane,
she's
yes.
the lesbian that works in the stationery shop, and she has difficulty of meeting people who go on dates and things.
She's so interesting in the fact that, you know, she's got such a bright personality and she's so eager, mm-hmm. and at the same time, she's so reluctant to do anything about it.
Yeah, she's so innocent.
Yeah, and when she meets
Zoinks.
She has such a faith in the fact that Zoinks is repaying the affection that she gives her. It feels the same way. And in this sense, she just has so much faith. Because Zoinks doesn't show much affection. She's just like, hello, I am happy. And she's like, are you really happy? You don't smile. You don't do anything.
It's a fascinating film. And the whole idea is there's something called Big Feeling. And on a particular planet, Zots, I think it's called Zots, where these aliens, these bald-headed, cone-head-like female aliens who come from, is that they're lesbian aliens, and of course they are. And of course, there's a massive hole in their ozone of their planet Zoinks, and the only way they think the hole will be mended is if people with big love and big emotion and too emotional, if they get sent away and get their hearts broken or something, that somehow that will cure them. And planet Earth is the perfect place to have your heart broken.
Yeah.
I think we agree with that.
Well, they say, you know, if you come to Earth, you'll fall in love and then you'll get your heart broken because you have to go back to your planet, and because you'll be so upset you'll never feel big feelings again.
Oh, and you do you want a tissue? You look a bit teary-eyed there. Lots of big feeling. All right, so what did you think of the movie? I mean, tell us what you had. Some favorite bits and pieces there.
I really liked the humor of the relationship, the character development.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it's quite a good thing. There's a character named Zyla who's sexually generous,
and that's played wonderfully by Jackie Monaghan. I've seen her with Hair. She looks totally different.
Is she pretty?
She is. She's actually a comedian, and get this, it will be in the full podcast, but Jackie Monaghan is a stand-up lesbian. Stand-up lesbian comedian, or a comedian that happens to be a lesbian, and she's out and she's very happy. And apparently she often gets people coming up to her after her stand-up, whatever she does live in comedy shows around the States, and they say to her things like, I don't believe you're a lesbian, you're too cheerful, it's really bad.
That's a horrible thing to say.
Anyway.
Well, that brings back in the whole, like, yeah. I don't know about, because I'm not a lesbian, but I do find lesbians probably don't show much emotion. They're like, I do like you.
Lesbians don't show much emotion. I'm not sure.
And so you'd need that faith. You'd need that faith that they do like you in return, or else they wouldn't behave the way they do. They wouldn't spend that time with you.
It takes about 6 years to get to know someone, to get to the flirting, stage. One of my favorite scenes, though, is in the... I'm not going to spoil it for everyone, because we're not going to go on
spoilers.
It too much. No more spoilers. But there is a beautiful little scene where Zoinks first comes across Jane, who's played by Lisa Haas, and Zoinks is played by Susan Ziegler. And they're in the station shop, and she's buying a card, and I think it's a Valentine's or love card. And she says, do you have love cards? That's the alien to our friend Jane, playing Jane, basically. And Jane goes, yes, we have. I would like to buy one. So she gives her the money, and she takes the card, but then she hands it back to Jane. Do you remember that scene?
Yes.
And Jane goes, oh, that must be flirting.
It's such, because she works in a stationery shop.
Nothing happens.
I want a love card.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And then she hands it back.
It's a good idea when flirting with someone behind the counter.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd work at my local Tats Lotto, really. Might get into trouble.
Maybe at the TAB.
Maybe. Mm. All right, so what am I going to give this? What did I give this out of 10? I don't know.
What would you say?
I give it, because I found it a real sentimental B grade in a good way, 1950s style sci-fi rom-com, lesbian outer space alien rom-com. I'm giving it 8 out of 10, because I loved it.
Yeah, I was thinking 7 or 8. That's
7
good.
Or 8, you're
yeah,
not
7
sure?
or 8.
You're kind of passive there.
I think if the agents weren't in that...
Oh, tell us about the agents. You don't like them.
An 8, but it's a 7.
What's with the agents? Explain.
There are these two FBI agents, and I feel...
like Mulder and Scully.
They don't belong. They just don't belong in the storyline.
Fair enough.
There's no development, a little bit, but it's just... Why are you there? Like, what are you doing?
Oh, well, look, I think it was a bit of light relief. Otherwise, it'd be just full of lesbians.
I wouldn't be against that. Like, because it... I think I would have liked to see more relationship development or character. Because, you know, what do we know about Swanks?
No.
Nothing.
She likes...
exactly. Nothing.
Isn't it ice cream?
No, that's Xyla. Xyla likes cheesecake.
Oh, cheesecake. You've got to see it just for the cheesecake scene.
Yeah, all
you know
the scenes.
The one?
Yeah, all the cheesecake scenes. There's so many.
We're not going to tell you.
We're not going to tell you. You have to go
why
see it.
Cheesecake. But seriously, you're going to get it. You're going to love it. And how can you see this film? Well, it is the Joy Presents film, and it's on Saturday the 17th of March at 6:15 p.m. at Acme, and Friday the 23rd of March at 8:15 p.m. at Acme. And it's a very, very special film by Madeline Olnick. And of course, go to the website, go to the Joy website, and that's joy.org.au. Go in there, and there's a special discount for Joy-only members. So if you show your membership card of Joy, and you can get a special discount to go and see that wonderful film. Cool.
Coolies.
Coolo. All right, well, I might play a little track. This one is dedicated to Brett McKenzie. Now, Brett McKenzie, otherwise known as the man with the beard and the sensitive face from Flight of the Conchords.
Very funny.
Congratulations to him for winning an Oscar. Good on you, bro. You've won an Oscar for the Muppet Movie soundtrack, and you beat all those other all that other competition of one. But I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying that's really brilliant, really ace. So this track is from their 2009 album, and this one's called Rambling Through the Avenues of Time. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
I was wandering through the streets of the city, rambling through the avenues of time, when from nowhere my eyes fell onto a girl, and by chance her eyes fell onto mine.
What was her name?
This is Mark Shepherd. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This indeed is Sci-Fi and Squeam. And yes, hello, Johnny. Johnny Lemon loves Sci-Fi and Squeam. We do too.
We love Johnny Lemon.
We do. Thanks for listening. Brilliant. And that was Flight of the Conchords with Rambling Through the Avenues of Time. Of course it was. Now it's almost time to go. Speaking of time, it's so fleeting here on Sci-Fi and Squeam. And we looked at some MQIF or Melbourne Queer Film Festival's films that are coming out. Well, one in particular, Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Sex Aim. Joy presents that one. Just quickly, I'm rustling my papers, and what have I found? I have found that Joe and Belle, which is an Israeli film at MQIF, Joe and Belle, it's 2011, 80 minutes, colour, and it's Hebrew, French and English. The director is Veronica Kedar, producer Amir Fishman. It stars Veronica Kedar and also Sivian Levy, Romy Abolafia, Rotam Ishav, and many other wonderful Israeli actors. Music by Daphna Keenan. You can look it all up on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Facebook. So just go Facebook and put little Sci-Fi and Squeam in there. What can I say about that film? Well, it's pretty exciting. It's a dark, twisted thriller, and it's also a lovely lesbian love story. But it's Tel Aviv, but not as you know it. It doesn't seem like the happening gay, prideful, proud, out and rainbow. Instead, it's quite dark and grimy and seedy, and there's lots of Quasar bombs and rockets flying overhead, and it's very claustrophobic. The whole thing is in handheld camera. It's very claustrophobic. It's got lots of acoustic music. It's pretty dark, actually, but I liked it. And it's got some twists in there and thrillers and a bit of blood and gunshots and gun wounds and pistols and microwave ovens. Head along and see that at Melbourne Queer Film Festival, 17th of March at 8:15 p.m. and the 23rd of March at 6 p.m. I give that 6 out of 10, and we hope to see more of Veronica Kedar, the director, in the future. Well, Mitch, we're going to have to say adios in a moment.
Oh, so soon.
So soon. Well, I've got this interview to play with Peter Krause.
Okay.
No, sorry.
I want to
hear
excuses. The interview.
Peter Krause is one of the people that runs something called AFCA. But it's basically a commission of critics, okay? So all the critics in Melbourne that are all volunteers and organisations and blogs and so forth. He's got a show on 3CR, Peter Krause, and they do all the reviews pretty much across Melbourne and for the world. So they just had their recent awards, and for writing and for filmmaking. And Snowtown, the wonderful Justin Kurzel film from here in Australia, won just about everything. Best film, best screenplay, best actor, of course, the wonderful Daniel Herschel. Now, it came out in May of last year, 2011, and it's only just now, next week, March the 15th, it will be arriving in New York to be played there in one of their festivals. It's going to have some impact in the US, let's hope so, because it's a dark genre thriller based on real-life serial killers of John Bunting. Do you know much about the film? Have you seen it, Mitch?
No.
It's really quite disturbing.
Well, I think that would be really good to disturbing. bring this kind of point of view to America. Like, I mean, I don't like it, but I like more films that are very honest and open like this.
This is honest.
Because
really honest.
They're on and off. There really aren't enough in the world.
Well, we can all hold hands and hope and pray that Snowtown does really okay over there. Now, it didn't win a lot of the big awards in Australia itself, which was a bit odd. That's just my opinion. But at least at AFCA, a lot of reviewers and critics think, yeah, it's pretty much all right. Okay, well, this is Sci-Fi and Scream. We're going to have to sign off in a moment. I know. And next week, there'll be more fun and frolics. We're having certain person, Andrew Pogson from the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, is going to be coming in and talking to us about some of his favourite video games. But also, there's more, because in April, the MSO is doing a special video game music symphony.
I don't know. Symphont.
Symphont. Symphont.
I think that is a font.
I think it's new.
Cynic font or something like that.
It's going to happen. It just won't happen overnight. But so that's coming up in April. April's a busy time. We've got Supernova. Lots of stuff.
April. We're in March. It's this week. This weekend
March
I'm going.
March is over.
This weekend, Ghost Tour. Melbourne Ghost Tour.
Oh, you're going on that?
Yes.
Cool. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I've got a lot in this month. I have to do so much.
Well, we're going to have you report back on that.
I'll post some photos on the Facebook page. So if anyone's interested in looking, and I'll discuss it next week if you'd like.
Yes, that'd be cool.
The Ghost Tour. We can talk about ghosts next
week. Yeah, and we've also got Kylan coming in from Kiss My Arts from Monday nights. They're on Monday evenings at 9 p.m. He's going to be reviewing John Carter for me because I just didn't get around to it. So that's the big sci-fi Disney, big boom, big, you know, blockbuster they're all hoping on. And that's coming out pretty soon. So he's going to talk about that next week.
Sounds good.
Thanks for coming on board again.
I'm going to be here every Tuesday.
Until the end of time. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and this is Peter Krause now from AFCA. Thanks for listening. Scream, Peter Krause.
Thank you, Sonia. Happy to be here.
Good. It's great to have you talk to us today. You're from the Australian Film Critics Association, and we've just been to a viewing and a panel, Q&A, for a fantastic film called Caught Inside. It's almost a year since it came out, but this, I believe, is its Melbourne premiere.
It is. It didn't get a major release in the capital cities, sort of travel around a few smaller centres and so on. This is its real premiere, if you like to put it that way, just before its DVD release. Well, it's now out on DVD. And Caught Inside, I thought, was such a strong genre piece and a really well-directed film that it deserved a screening here and as well as panel discussion as well.
Look, I've seen it sneakily on a screener through Umbrella, which was great, but to see it on the large screen here at Acme just gives it the justice it deserves.
Because it's beautifully shot in widescreen, and the facilities at Acme are so good in terms of picture and sound quality that this is certainly the best place to see any film being exhibited. Caught Inside has that special extra technical qualities as well as the good direction and acting that goes into it.
It does. I mean, a barracuda that size doesn't look good on a small LCD screen at home, does it? Look, Peter, you're the chair of Australian Film Critics Association, or can we call it AFCA?
Yes, you certainly can.
What does AFCA do?
Well, we're a collection of about 58 members across Australia, Melbourne-based. Our members are film critics who have outlets in radio, in print, online, on blogs, television, various outlets, and they are regular film reviewers. In most cases, they're not paid for their film reviewing, but that's not an issue. We're affiliated with FIPRESCI, the International Federation of Film Critics and Film Journalists, and in the charter it says that you can be a member of a Film Critics Association if you are not paid, but you have a regular outlet as a film critic in whatever shape or form that is. Whereas the other Film Critics Association in Australia, which is Sydney-based, their criteria is based on payment, and what they say is that their members are all paid at least six times a year, so they are different from us in terms of their membership criteria, but we're both affiliated with FIPRESCI, and so when FIPRESCI juries come up around the world, and at the moment we don't have any in Australia, but when FIPRESCI juries do come up, then if a member from FCCA or a member from AFCA applies, then FIPRESCI has to determine which of the two from Australia becomes the person getting that Guernsey on the film jury. So there's no difference really in the membership between FCCA and AFCA. The only difference is that FCCA members are paid. So they are able to be part of outlets such as magazines and newspapers and so on that pay film reviewers, but there are not enough paid opportunities for film critics, and that's something that Fopresky is discussing this month in the National Assembly.
Now I've gone off on tangent, actually. It's not why I wanted to interview you originally, because we've seen this astonishing film. You know, Adam Blacklock has obviously taken years to do this film. You've got Ben Oxenbould, who I've just met, and is a very charming, talented person, and they're both very, very passionate. But because this is a genre film, has that been the reason it's been hard to get the distribution that it, I would say, it deserves?
Well, it's an interesting question, because genre films have made a resurgence in Australian cinema, and some of them are getting distribution, some are getting an airing. I mean, not quite Hollywood exposed the history of a genre film in Australia. And now I think there are some good genre films out there that Australian filmmakers are making. But distributors and exhibitors in particular, are still so reticent to screen certain films. They make a decision, sometimes not necessarily an informed one, thinking what's going to get an audience, what isn't going to get an audience, and will the film work? Now, obviously, decisions were made by a couple of exhibitors that Caught Inside may not attract enough people to make it commercially viable. Hence, it will have a much bigger market on DVD, I think. But nevertheless, it'd be great to see it playing at least a week or so on the big screen. But exhibitors play it safe. Hollywood product, of course, always gets first preference, apart from the more independent exhibitors and so on, but we're talking about the mainstream ones. And Australian films still are not regarded that positively by some exhibitors, because Australian films still do not make enough money back.
It's a catch-22, because unless you are exposed to them, you grow to understand and love and appreciate them, you're not going to know if you're not seeing them. You recently had your awards, where it was the Writers Awards category and also Film Awards category, and Snowtown did very, very well. My opinion is, personally, I'm very pleased with that. How did you feel about the Snowtown doing?
Well, personally, for me, Snowtown was the best Australian film last year. I mean, I know Red Dog won the best film at the Australian Academy of Cinema and Television Arts Awards. I feel that Snowtown was much stronger, much more cutting edge, much more difficult film, and because of that was very successful in what it tried to do. And obviously our members who voted felt the same way, and hence Snowtown winning a number of awards for the AFCA Best Film and the Best Director and Best Screenplay and Best Actor for Daniel Henschel. Yes. Our members felt that Snowtown deserved that recognition.
Certainly got my vote on that one. Daniel Henschel, I don't think he needs to look back his career. The man was possessed. He certainly is an extraordinary piece of work when he played that role, John Bunting.
And certainly Snowtown is a film, because it's such a niche film in many respects, it's not a mass market film, needs that drive of awards and critical acclaim to be able to give it that push into other markets overseas. We should promote our Australian film culture, because we don't want to lose our Australian film culture and be subsumed by Hollywood or by American culture. Every country needs its own films.
Genre film, particularly thrillers, horrors, I mean, that's my interest with Sci-Fi and Squeam. Where do you think it stands at the moment for Australian filmmakers?
I think it's pretty good. We're starting to make some very good horror movies and some good thrillers, and Caught Inside is a good example of a thriller, perhaps. Look, we've got filmmakers who can make good genre pieces. It's just a matter of whether they can have an outlet for them and they can have them seen and distributed.
You've got a show on 3CR, one of the other community radio stations. What time is that on, and when people can tune in?
I'm on most Saturdays, except for first Saturday of the month, 11 a.m. till 12 noon on 3CR, community radio. Yes, interview filmmakers, talk film, everything that's happening in the film front in Melbourne.
Thank you very much, and congratulations, Peter Krause. Thanks for talking to us on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Pleasure. Thank you, Sonia.
Hello, this is Lawrence R. Harvey, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 949.
Shum-a-mum-a-mum-a-mum-a-mum, I'm your pig-legged father. Shum-a-mum-a-mum-a-mum-a-mum, you're my darling daughter. You're my darling daughter, I'm your pig-legged father. What has become of your cold-hearted mother?
Shum-a-mum-a-mum-a-mum-a-mum,
I'm the man who raised you.
Shum-a-mum-a-mum-a-mum-a-mum,
her absence never faced you. Her absence never faced you.
Sci-Fi and Scream was synthesized and squashed into shape by Sonia. For more information, visit our Facebook page, Sci-Fi and Scream, or check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.